Right.
Yes. So we're holding here, I think, on Yud Aleph Torah Zohav.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's
I think we did.
Yes, I have, but I don't know.
We did. We ended off with the Shtei Torahs.
Okay. So, right. So now we have another thing. Torah Zohav Nasecha Im Nekudas HaKesef. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Torah Zohav, those are those plates, decorations, Im Nekudas HaKesef, with silver dots. So, Pirish, Asisi Lecha Tachshitin V'Shura Shal Zohav V'Aleihem Nekudas HaKesef Shemuhudim Oit. And there are dots that makes it look very nice. Mipnei she'ein mareyem shavim l'shura atzma. It's a special yofi that it contrasts with it. In other words, he's sort of explaining something. L'chura, if I tell you, I paid you $1,000. And a bonus, I gave you a bag of radishes. You look at me like I'm sort of off the wall. Zohav is expensive. Turei Zohav, Nasachos, it's expensive a tash as you can get. So what's in Nekudas HaKosef? Where is Nekudas HaKosef coming in over here? That's his issue.
Uh-huh.
So he answers that the yoifi of Nekudas HaKosef is that it contrasts with the Zohav. So even though it's a bit of a lesser, inyan, still it's something that. It's something that Hashem gave us, and that's Torah Zohav Nekudas HaKesef. Let's speak a little bit about the mashal over here. So first of all, it's very interesting. He's making a point. He's asking Tachlis, what's the addition? Torah Zohav Nekudas HaKesef is Dvar Hashem, and the Nekudas HaKesef is the Diktukei Halachos. Whatever that is, isn't that less than the Torah? So why are we, if I give somebody a matana, this is a Rashba, and it's a Rashba with my Ha'aris on it. Say that. I mean, it's a Rashba. Where's it coming in as a Milah? So the Goyen is saying the following, and I think this was Mechuvnes, pretty sure. In the world of Yoifi, so Yoifi very much rests on contrast, bringing out a certain point. You have a frame for a picture. You have very sharp surah. You have colors contrasting with each other. You have a black background to something or a white background to something. You always look for something opposite. It rings out a certain teichen that is inside the other one. In other words, when you have just a when you have just a lamashal, if I would just have a picture out of frame, the picture could be worth a few millions of dollars, $100 million. Without the frame, it doesn't look right. The frame itself, say if it's an expensive frame, it's not. So what's the answer is because the frame contrasts, it cuts the picture and it brings out. What it does is through the contrast, it brings out what's in it, what's in the painting. A good novel is when you see a certain story set against the background of something, of other people, other characters. It's a character amongst other characters. It's an event amongst other events. That's the tzur of Yefi and so on. So, so even though the nekudas are kesef, but they serve to emphasize the zohar. They bring out something in it. That's why it makes it valuable. So if you were talking about, if I gave you a bag of gold and silver also, it's prutas. It's like radishes together with money. But if you're talking about the combination of the two, where there's a certain contrast that one brings out the everything in the other one, that's what we're talking about.
So how does this manifest in the
Torah
and the
Kutu? Yes. So the Maila over here is like this. If I come along and I tell you a pasuk, parsha in the Torah, it's very nice. But when you see a drasha in a pasuk, you see a certain oimik that was in the pasuk. They didn't see it at first glance. If somebody writes out something long, let's take something like a Rashi. Person looks at a Rashi, he reads it, it's very nice, Rashi, nice. Then someone points out, look at what's meduyik in Rashi. Look what he's, and then you say, wow, that's amazing. It brings out a whole new appreciation of Rashi. So the diktukim teira between each ois are that which give the oisius, the teichen meaning. It's the word between each ois is because when you write, one of the halachas of Sefer Torah is it has to be mukaf, klaf, gvil. It has to be, each letter can't be attached to another letter, and the gear passes it. Each letter's mitzias is the ink, but the ink is meaningful because it's set against the white cloth. If it was if you wrote black ink on a black surface, you would get nothing. It's only because it's coming against the background. So the place that's rake, the place that's empty, is really what brings out the toiv and the yafeh of what's there. And therefore, a person, so the Ketukei Torah and give us a certain depth and understanding of what's in the Torah. So a person sees a pasuk, If I start showing you, or Chazal start showing us what the pasuk means, what are the Ketukim in it, and everything, and what's learned up from every nation pasuk, the whole, I see the pasuk very differently. It's like when you look at a Rashi differently after you hear Shir on it. You say, wow, I didn't even realize what Rashi includes in it. That's the marshal of the diktukim are a gili on what's written in the Torah. When you're learning halacha, you just want to use the diktuk of the din to bring out the halacha lemaisa. So this is the pasuk. This is the limud I have on it, and this is how I bring out the halacha. But the reverse of the process, where I'm trying to dehair the limik of the pasuk, it's brought out specially by this by things that are, when I see the diuk of the pasuk, I dehair the pasuk much different.
And just like a side nekuda, the Taz on Shulchan Aruch, the Tess, and the Pashtos is that the Taz was the Turei Zahav, which is this Turei Zahav, and that's when, or and then the Shah wrote the nekuda.
That Taz is with a Tess, Turei Zahav means.
Right, with a Tess, and this is the Tess. So why? So, is it the same word? Is it a different word?
This over here is the word that this is related to. The word Torah Zahav over here is related to the word Rosh Tar in Gemara. It's a triangular type of shape. It's a shape that comes ahead and sort of the shape of the plate was kind of triangular, like you would imagine. Roughly a triangle.
And that's just rows, the tabs with the top, the test.
Yeah, over there, it's right. It's like the tour. It's columns. Uh-huh. It's like the word in Tetzaveh, tour achas, oidim pitta, and so on.
So the taz and the shachs nikudat tekesef is not specifically a play on this pasuk.
He might have listened once. He called it turah zohav. I'm sure that there was a play on the words. I'm sure that he played on those words. It's not the same, but it's not the same. It was more of a play, I think. Kind of, it's just a cute way of.
Not on this pasuk specifically, but I was seeing Rabbi's explanation of Ashira in altogether, explaining Az Yashir in regards to Pesach, which I guess is also negated to Shir Ashirim, is Shir Ashirim required to be Arech al Gabi Levena when it's written in, let's say, a cloth? Or?
I don't think so. I don't think Shir Ashirim, it doesn't have, there's no kriya of it, the Ikar Adin. I don't believe that there's such a halacha. It's not written like that. And it's certainly, I don't think there's any halacha. It's also not sure. There's no Zman Kriya. I mean, the Kriyas, the Megillas that we do is a late minhag.
But isn't there a Ksav for the sake of...
Correct. I don't know. I don't know that there is... It's just not Nagei ever. There's not that kind of reading out loud from the...
Uh-huh. Because Rav Shalom gave a whole share on the Megillah, on the different psukim of Megillah, and every time it says what they wrote, and the three-way machlokes rishonim, and
right.
The Megillah for Kriya and the Megillah for Ksiva.
Oh, okay, so Megillah says that has a din Kriya, and Bemela, all these things. So Zavada, there's Zavada over there, Suchis and Stumis, and over there is definitely a Seder Ksiva. I'm not aware that for other things there is. I just don't know. No, Miguel says, of course, there's a machlokes on it, yes.
It seemed that what came out was that at least there was a shita, that there's a concept of ksivas, kitzvei kodesh,
that
has to be written in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why Yechezkel was not written by Yechezkel, because it was in Chutz La'aretz, and different, so I wasn't sure, only because what Rebbe said with Reach HaGabi Alvena, the site of why it's a shira, is because there's gaps, because we don't appreciate the context. We could only understand it in segments,
right,
that don't necessarily flow. And just from seeing the points like this and the depth of every nakuda, maybe it's just my lack of ability to take in and comprehend all of these. It seems to me that they're like, I don't know if I guess there's an underlying theme, but based on the amkus of every single nakuda, it doesn't seem like it's, I don't know, maybe not flowing so well, or I don't know, maybe I just don't have a
grasp. Sure. It was very, very hard. I'll tell you, there is one Pirush Asher Ashirim that the Malbim's Pirush Asher Ashirim is a flow that's incredible. I remember I saw it the first time, I thought I was sure it was written Ruach HaKadosh. He divides Asher Ashirim into five halakim, and each one is connected a different nevuah that Shlomo had. It's an amazing sefer to learn. And the Goyen, like always, the Goyen focuses a lot on the Muslim in each pasuk. So sort of flow is almost a pasuk catch. There is, at some point, you get a sense of a flow, but it's very hard to keep the Goyen into a straight story. Very, very hard to.
So if it was a real shira, then it would be very geschmack that there is no flow based on what Rabbi is saying, because it's a real
correct. But if you, the one sefer that I'm telling you, if you ever have a chance at Malbim learns that all of Shir Hashirim is a mashal for what nevuah feels like, and that's a story, and then it's a mashal to Klal Yisrael to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he divides up. Shlomo HaMelech had five nevuahs. He shows in Tanakh. And then he divides up the Shir Hashirim very differently. It always ends at the pasuk of Hishpatas and Mesir Shlayim. And then he shows how that, the flavor of each nevuah is, each thing that's described is connected one of those nevuahs. An amazing sefer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Tes Yud Aleph. So, Pirush Beis. Now, I actually saw an old fuss that has... there has like two concurrent pirushim running through the whole sefer, And, you know, readers act dumb, but I actually saw, I happened to see somewhere else I was looking at it going, and they had a taka that way. Yud noisef, ratzoloima, la susne kevish brichve para, the misich rayasi, medamini oisper rayasi, who, ki moitsum if hasusim mitzrayim, a toivim yasim hasusim, ubifratet a melokwa mufkar, the omru susne keva, ki sus zohar hari balava mohama. So he's quoting here a chazal, he brings it down at the bottom of Medrash, that, you know, a sus zacha sometimes rebels against its master rider. He brings a sheh shirim rabbi. It says, "Ama pari, ma sus zacha zeh hayu balav mochama, pelarein roicha va sus in a keva urechsim susasi rechme paro." So susasi says is a sort of lushen of on the keva. The point here is, let's talk a little about this. Let's finish the first paragraph. For Oisrin Sus Nekeva Berechavim, they would hitch up a Sus Nekeva to Rechavim Davke. Mekashna said, but Kamoisha Mekashna Sus Hamel Chesimikulam, Kain Kashtitich. Or the fat Sus Parrot. Okay, and then he speaks with Hushem Melach, which cuts the Parrot, cuts the Malav. Avodavin and Dechlok and Malach, which way the funim. Let's go to the first point that he's making here. He's talking about a susne keva, and b'meila in shtolnga suta pa yisrael. One would think, the muscle, if I am looking for an army, so I naturally am going to pick a very strong army to fight the battle. I want foot, and therefore I'm going to pick the strongest army I can. But that's not such a smart move, because the strongest army that I find could possibly want to overthrow me. And you know, if they're so strong, they can do so well. I mean, they'll overthrow me as well. So what I really should look for is the most loyal army, the strongest and most loyal army. In other words, loyalty to me, that the army is telling to me, is the Aleph. Or else, I mean, the guy might win the war, but I'm going to lose it because he's going to take it for himself. So the Susasi Berichvei Paroi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Meshabeach Kal Yisrael. And he's saying that what I like about you is you're out there for me. You fight my battles. You fight my wars and so on. But you're intensely loyal to me. Two Zacharim are always be'etzem jacking for power, because that's the nature of a Zachar. A Zachar is always trying to be koivish. It always trying to be power. So there's no way in which I can be loyal to another Zachar. Masha'ein came. And the Keva, her innermost nature is this battle to the Zachar, and that's what it is. So the that a sus, the milo, we spoke last time, the milo of a sus, for instance, if I train oxen to gore the enemy or to charge at the enemy, so that's a little less sensitive. But a horse, I'm riding the horse, and therefore these battles to me is the most important element of it. I need to feel that it's a raglar rich, that's an extended foot of mine. If I don't feel that way, then I'm not going to be able to make use of that horse. He's not going to take where I want to go, and not when I want to go, and so on. Mm-hmm. So I can throw that you are like my b'chinas nekev in the bria. You know, you do a lot of good things, everything else, but more than anything else, I can be samech on you that in time of need or in time of challenge, you're not bolting and running away. That's the nekuda. And that's why he says, umekashna yisra, umesha mekashna samech yisra kuro, ken kashe ticha. The reason why it's a kishut, which I spoke last time, is because it's mine. In other words, I'm kashit anything as a sheikh is with me. A person is miskashit. So if these have a sheikh is to me, then I am going to be miskashit. That's going to be my teva advar. And then he says he uses the word paroi. Paroi says is not a private name. It's a generic name for a king. And he says the reason is because you don't normally call a melech by his name. So that's why he calls him paroi. He brings over here on the bottom from the Goyim that in Megillas Esther that you don't normally you don't say the word, you don't say Shem Havaya because it's not covered to call him a king by his name. You call him the king, you call him Hashem Amalfis. So that's the standard. And the Mela we only call by the Shem Amalfis. That's the okay, we got Mzoha Melch Mitzrayim, Shevara Yisham Mufchar, Tachshit Mzoha Kesef, Lekbez Paratzis. The reason also why he's saying it, you know, why did he pick, and the way I'm saying it, it could be anybody who's a Melech. So he says, but since Mitzrayim was a wealthy country that specialized in Sus and so on and so forth, it stands to reason that Sus would be the most miskashit and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't call Yisrael, I see you as the Bria in the world that is most loyal to me, and of those loyal, the one that can accomplish the most, and so on. So I take you into battle because I know you'll never turn against me. You'll never run away from under my feet. You're going to give it whatever it takes to get to the finishing line. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to teach after him. Okay.
Just, Rabbi, on this, I could exactly. I know Rabbi always likes to hear. I don't thoughts or stories to explain the Nakuda. I read in a book on George Washington that King George III said during the Revolutionary War that when the colonies were fighting for the sake of, you know, equal rights for everyone,
right.
King George III said apparently he wasn't impressed because he said many revolutionaries had been fought in the name of equality. But the result of this was always that the leader of the military claimed the mantle as king. So right. If George Washington, the leader of the military at the time, could step away and not become the king of this newly formed country,
that'll be a writer.
Greatest feat of all of mankind.
Uh-huh. So
that was his, I think it's Mamash this Nakuda, you know, the Tzcharim are always jousting for authority, and if you have the strongest military, so it'll be his military, he'll be the king.
You're looking for stories from the famous. There was when they wanted to give universal education, free education is in England. One of the members of parliament objected very strenuously, and he said, I would not want to ride the horse that is as smart as its owner. In other words, a horse has to be bats and butthole, has to feel horse like. So, okay, good. So, see you next week.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Have a good night. Have a nice week.